thank you all for coming back. Any brand new folks, first meeting, didn't make it this morning? A couple of you, well, welcome. Glad you guys, the rest of you must be pretty bored if you're going to come back. I mean, come on. You already heard two of them. This is the talk that is the most interesting. You get the most extreme response on this one. And so I just put it out in advance. If you disagree with me, please show me in the scripture where I'm wrong. That's all I ask. Show me in the scripture where I'm wrong. Because as a Christian, that's our common bond, right? Doesn't matter where we're from or any of that. If we're Christian, show me in the scripture where I'm wrong, because that should be our standard when dealing with difficult issues. And this, in my mind, is not a difficult issue if we start with it biblically, but boy, it can sure get folks charged up pretty quick. So if you want to go ahead and kill the backlights here, we'll get going. Genesis, I call it today's answer to racism. I told you all this morning, we talked about being able to take the Bible and the Bible teaching us how to deal with astronomy, biology, geology, anthropology. Well, in this talk, what we're going to do is we're going to use the Bible to understand biology as well as anthropology. Again, not deep technical stuff, because I'm not that person. I can't do that. But when we start from the Word of God, it gives us a history that absolutely deals with biology that will impact the way that we understand it if we allow it to be our authority and our standard. Now, I told you all the answer this morning so that you wouldn't be shy to come back tonight. But think about this for a second. When I go to a church and first talk right out of the chute, and I give this talk, and I ask this question, how many different races are there in the world today? And I give these multiple choices, 1, 6, 8, more than 10, it doesn't matter. You tell me, what's the number one response that I get from the church? From the church. The number one response really surprises me, and it's every time I go, it doesn't matter. I mean, almost every church that I go to, I can only think of one church in the last, I started speaking in 97, so what is this, 2009, 12 years. I've had one church that I can remember that gave me anything other than it doesn't matter. When it's just right out of the chute, out of the blue, they don't know where you're going with this stuff. Because we're raised in a tolerant society, come on, it doesn't matter. Well, I told you all this morning I was supposed to speak in Tennessee. They canceled the speaking event, but I didn't tell you the rest of the story. This guy called up and was excited that we were coming because they were getting phone calls from Atlanta, Georgia, and all these other places. They were excited to begin with. And when he finally canceled the speaking event, it had nothing to do with the content not being accurate. It had everything to do with the fact that, oh, the church bylaws, our pastor would be removed. Deacon, North Carolina, job as a deacon. Whatever person that's in here that's got a different skin tone, different eye shape, let me tell you what church you'd feel more comfortable worshiping in the next week. I was supposed to speak in a church in London, Kentucky. I go into London, Kentucky. Well, I was. I spoke in it. And I walk in and the pastor says, Carl, you know, you probably shouldn't do that race talk. Well, this is already after we'd scheduled everything. You probably shouldn't do the race talk. We invited the church 7 miles down the road. They don't have any blacks in it and it might offend them. Not that what you're saying is wrong. Not that what you're saying is against what the scripture teaches, you might offend them. How about we offend people if they're holding to wrong beliefs? Aren't we supposed to, as a brother in Christ, if we love each other enough and we find somebody in error, aren't we supposed to go to them and discuss and talk with them? Aren't we supposed to do that? You know, it was an interesting thing. The guy, he said, well, I'll tell you what, Carl, just remove the interracial marriage part out of there and it'll be okay. And this is when I first started speaking, and I said to the guy, I went home, I didn't say anything to him, but I went back to the hotel room that night, and I was in there praying. I said, God, I can't do that. If I got to start picking and choosing and pulling pieces because I'm going into this denomination, and then they're not going to like me if I say this, or I'm going to go to this group, and they're not going to like me if I talk about this, so I got to start picking and choose what I can talk about, that's nothing more than that whole tickling ears and that sort of a thing. I said, I can't do it. So I went back the next day and I told the pastor, I said, sir, it's your church and I won't do it if you don't want me to do it because it's your church. But if I do the talk, I do the talk. That's all I can do. I got to just put it out there. He said, go ahead. And to his credit, he said, no, go ahead. And it was funny. I saw folks sit there for an hour and they didn't blink. It's like they didn't even move. It was like an ice statue. They were just looking. Can't believe he's talking about this. I mean, they wouldn't even bend their eyes over to see what was going on. It was unbelievable. But that pastor at the end of it, he got up and he said, you know what? That was the best talk that I've heard on this. And I'm not trying to blow my horn. It's the issue and it's the approach. It's the issue and the approach. We need to have answers to this. Detroit, guy came up to me and said, if you gave that talk 15 miles west of here, Carl, you would be dead. They would kill you. The Christians would kill you. Guys, this is a topic that we got to have answers to. So, in order to deal with it, I kind of came up with something that I said, I think if we're gonna handle it correctly, we've got to deal with the facts. And so let's break it down and make it easy to just deal with this. First, the F, face it. Guys, let's face it. We've made mistakes in the past on this issue. We've made mistakes. My motto in life is this, is if you mess up, fess up, then you can move on, right? If you mess up, you fess up, you deal with it, then you can move on. We've got to face the facts that we've blown it. Romans 10 tells us this, that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We've got to face the facts that we've blown it on this issue. The church has blown it on this issue. And if we can't get it right, we can't expect the world to get it right. The number two thing that I think we have to do is A, accept responsibility. Remember that verse that I was talking about this morning? If my people, remember that? If my people, which are called by my name, who do we have to start with? I can't start by going out and trying to change the world. They're the world. I can't expect anything better from the world. I can expect the body of Christ to live biblically, though. You can expect me to live biblically. If you see me off acting a fool, you got to come and talk to me. That's just the way it is. That's the body of Christ. We have to start with ourselves. We have to humble ourselves. We have to pray. We have to seek his face. We have to turn away from the wicked ways. And many times we're not willing to do that. And I think a lot of times it's because we really have lost a regard for the Word of God. It has become that storybook instead of that foundation book. So I want to challenge you today to honestly, if I'm saying something that offends you, show me in the scripture where it's wrong, because this is where we've got to start our thinking point, start our thinking from. Whew, turn around. Reconnect the Bible to the real world. Because think about this. When the Bible talks about geology, and it does, by the way, there's a history that deals with geology. Does God know more than man? Sure, God knows more about geology than man does. When the Word of God talks about marriage, does the Bible talk about marriage? It does. Don't you think God knows a little bit more about marriage than what we do? Doesn't matter what kind of laws we pass, guys. We know what marriage is because the creator of the institution told it what it was, and it has no bearing on what I think it should be or not. It has to do with what the creator of the whole institution said about it. When the Word of God talks about astronomy, and it does, when the Word of God talks about, ooh, races, does the Word of God talk about races? And I'll tell you right now, it doesn't. What? You'll understand hopefully by the end of the talk. Let's get into the scripture. 2 Corinthians says this, but I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. That's a good word. Subtlety. Break it down. It means a specious or false knowledge. Subtlety of Satan. Now, I like the second part much better. So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. See, I like the simplicity thing because I'm a simple man. I'm so simple I didn't understand what specious meant. I had to look it up. Specious is something that looks good but isn't. Now, I understand that because of my simple background. Remember, professional wrestler dad, guys on stage one thing, behind the scenes another thing. That is specious. That is something that looks good, isn't. You think I'm joking about the whole thing. Well, I'm not joking about it. That's the truth. I'm a simple man. I think this issue is simple too. This is a non-Christian quote here. If it is determined that races do not biologically exist, communication of these findings to the populace may help to solve the problems associated with racism. I'm here to communicate to the populace today. Races do not biologically exist. That's a scientific fact. But you know what? More importantly, that is a biblical fact. It's a biblical fact. The Bible never talks about races other than running the good race, talks about tribes and nations, but it never talks about races. Races do not biologically exist. And that's a biblical fact. Science is saying that as well now. I find that interesting. But when you look at people groups through the lens of man's opinion, you will understand them differently than if you look at it through the lens of God's Word. And that's reality. The evidence isn't the problem. It's the starting point. It's the worldview. It's the bias, the presupposition, whatever you want to call it. And we all have them, okay? Every one of us are biased. I admit I am biased. I admit it. Not ashamed of it. My bias is that this is the word of God. It's from the only one who's always been there, who told me what happened. It's true history. It's not fairy tale. It's not fable. God was there. He told me what happened. So when I start with that as my standard, my foundation, and I look at the people groups around this world today, trust me, I understand them differently than when my mind says there is no God. Earth is millions of years old. Given enough time, right circumstances, we got here. I understood people completely and totally differently then than I do now by starting from the Word of God. It has to do not with the evidence, but with our starting point. And as Christians, we are supposed to be what? Followers of Christ, Talmudim, disciples of Christ. I'm supposed to look like, smell like, I don't know what he smelled like, but I'm supposed to smell like him, talk like, act like Jesus. And the only way that I can know anything about Jesus is from his word. So that's what I have to pattern my life on. Let's look at this issue from a secular viewpoint. And guys, I want to give you a quote from Voltaire. Anybody ever hear Voltaire? There's a pretty famous quote that Voltaire gave that is used against Christians. And I think we've let the world have that quote too long. I want to take it back. Listen to this quote from Voltaire. Those who make you believe in absurdities make you commit atrocities. Now see, the world uses that against Christians because he was a deist. He was against organized religion and all this sort of a thing. Think about it. He was saying that, if you can get people to believe in some sort of God, they can make you commit atrocities. Excuse me, let's flip that around. If I can get you to believe that given enough time, right circumstances, that's how we got here, life is nothing special, you're just evolved pond scum, they can make you commit atrocities? How many abortions have we seen in our nation? You want to talk about atrocities? It's not done in the name of Jesus. That's an atrocity. How many murders are taking place because we're nothing more than highly evolved pond scum? There is no value for life. You see, if you can devalue life, and how do you do that? Well, we're not created in the image of God. We're just here. That is an absurdity, by the way, to think that we got here given enough time, right circumstances. I think we need to take that quote back. How did they get us to start believing in these absurdities, though? Well, we got Mr. Charles Darwin. He came along and he popularized. He didn't invent evolution, guys, and I'm not going to tell you that evolution caused racism. Not going to say that in the least. Racism was around before Charles Darwin came onto the scene, all right? And by the way, Charles Darwin didn't create or invent evolution. It was around before him. He did nothing more than popularize a mechanism for evolution. That's what he did, speciation. He popularized a mechanism for evolution. Tiny gradual changes within a kind, and eventually you can get all kind of different looking things. That's all he did. He did not create evolution. He did not create racism. But his belief sure led to it. Why? Well, you've heard of his book, right? On the Origin of Species. Who's heard of the book? Most of you have heard of the book. How many know the full title of the book? One? See, here's the point. Parents, I would honestly tell you that you need to buy Origin of Species and read it with your children. You will laugh at what is taught in there. You will laugh at what's taught in there. Bears evolved into the whales? No problem with that. Just give it enough time. These bears could evolve into the whales. Hello. Think about it. A bear going back into the ocean to become a blue whale won't fit in this room. And we believe in fairy tales and fables. Read Origin of Species with your kids because the stuff that he proposed in there is bad. It's not even accepted today. But you know what's even worse? Is the full title. Here's the full title from the inside of the book. On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection or the Preservation of Favored Races. Anybody's PC, politically correct radar going off right about now? Favored races? Hey, you've got to understand this. His second book really went into it big time on the descent of man, all right? This teaching says point blank that some races are better than others. Evolution teaches that that's the way that it is. Whites are up here, we're the most highly evolved. Blacks are down here closer to the missing link. Asians and Hispanics are somewhere in between. That's what evolution teaches. Not that I agree with it, but that's what it teaches. I was on that live call-in show and it was a black host, his name was Lincoln, and he was coming at me, he's not a Christian, he was coming at me pretty good, and he's like, you can't believe this, you can't believe this, you can't believe it. And I'm like, I said, Lincoln, can I say something to you that I don't agree with, but I'm going to use your worldview. I want to say something from your worldview and challenge you. Can I do that without you getting ticked off at me? Sure, go ahead. I said, Lincoln, who do you think you are to question me? You are a black man. I am white. I am more highly evolved than you. You're down here closer to the missing link. Who do you think you are to question me? Now, I don't agree with that. I don't believe that. But from your worldview, that's exactly what it teaches. That's exactly why we are where we are today in our world, because we believe that, even though sitting in the pews. Shut them up pretty quick. We went to a different topic. But see, here's the point, guys. That's exactly what this teaches, favored races. It is a progression from a simple life form till you get to a more advanced life form, and the apes are closer to the blacks. And when you start reading how the skin color thing evolved and all that, it gets into like, now you're really talking fairy tales and fables. Now, am I saying that evolution caused racism? I'm telling you again, no, I'm not saying that. But what it did was when we started buying into this belief system of some races better than others, racism exploded. It exploded. Don't trust me, I'm the fundamentalist hick. I'll let the non-Christian tell you, okay? Biological arguments for racism may have been common before 1850, but they increased by orders of magnitude following the acceptance of evolutionary theory. When the church bought off on this stuff, it exploded. Racism exploded because now, for me to hate somebody that had a different skin tone, a different eye shape, a different hair texture, this is not personal. This is science. I'm here, you're there. And the man who gave us that quote, trust me, he was not a Christian, he was not a creationist. And he admits that is what exploded racism in our country, Mr. Stephen Jay Gould. Interesting quote from one of the journals here, Journal of Personality and Social Psychology. The tendency to be prejudiced is a form of common sense hardwired in the human brain. You see, guys, it's just the way it is. We're born that way. We're born to be prejudiced. Now, can I ask you a question? If we are born and it's hardwired in us to be prejudiced, is there anything that we can do about it? Can you? If it's genetic, can you do anything about your prejudice? Sorry, man, that's just the way it is. That's the way I'm wired. If it's sin, can we do something about it? How about we call it what it is? It's sin to hate somebody because of skin tone, eye shape, hair texture. That's reality. Don't buy into what the world's telling you. They want to make everything genetic. I mean, have you read the stuff that's genetic? Adultery's genetic. Overeating's genetic. Drinking's genetic. Smoking's genetic. The dictator. You got a dictator gene now. Have you heard that one? Yeah. Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein had the dictator gene. So it's not their fault. Why'd we chase these guys around? And hey, it's just the way they're wired. It's crazy. Ethnic conflict, think about it, is merely a part of our evolutionary inheritance. There's an article that talks about xenophobia, the fear of foreigners. Why are some people don't like people that are different than them? Think about Bosnia. Ever hear Bosnia? People that lived next door to each other for years all of a sudden just started killing each other off. Why? Xenophobia. Xenophobia, what's that got to do with anything? You see, a long time ago when we were hominids, we were these ape-like ancestors, and we would be living out on the savannas, and we would have our group of our other hominids, and we would be okay, we could survive. Oh, but if another group of hominids moved into our areas, now we got a big problem, because you see, there's not enough resources for both groups to survive. So, some of us hominids, we had a gene that made us a little bit more aggressive, and so therefore, we didn't like the foreigners, we would kill the foreigners off, we would survive, the passive ones would die, we would procreate and we'd pass on that aggressive gene to the next generation. Voila, that's why we hate people that look different than us today. It's in our genes. How about we call it what it is? It's sin. It's sin to hate folks that look different than us. Xenophobia has apparently arisen in the course of natural selection and social evolution. It's an evolutionary adaptation just like the tiger's claw or eagle's feathers. No, it's sin. When we bought off on this stuff, do you understand what really happened in the past? The reason I'm as passionate on this topic as I am now is because 4 years ago when I started speaking really full-time for the ministry, I've been speaking since 97, but 4 years ago I started speaking full-time where I was on the road. I knew none of what I'm sharing with you right now. None. I was raised oblivious to this stuff. And when I found out about it, I'm like, are you kidding me? Think about this. Do you know what happened to the Australian Aboriginals because a culture bought off on the fact that whites are up here, blacks are down here, and there's favored races? They were hunted like animals. They had manuals on how to hunt them down, how to kill them, how to plug up the bullet holes, how to skin them. Their skins were sent back to the museums, stuffed and put on display, okay? Between 5,000 and 10,000 graves were dug up and desecrated. Charles Darwin's grandfather was one of the ones doing the digging in the graves. All right. When I was in London a year and a half ago, I was speaking over there. The bones are still in the museum in England, and the Australian Aboriginals are over there trying to get the bones back so they can bury them, and they will not give them the bones back. This is from one of the articles that was going on. Thousands of Aboriginal bones are still being held in Britain's Victorian collections, but at the moment, national institutions like the Natural History Museum can't return them to Australia without a change in the law. They won't return them back. And now read the last line. The scientists don't want to send them back. Why? Scientists here are concerned that if these bones go back, their value for scientific research will be lost forever. Hello? These are human beings. What are you going to learn from studying their bones? Now, you and I might look at that and say, how awful, but hey, let's be honest for a second, okay? If evolution is true, and I'm up here, and that Aboriginal is down here, because you see, he's the missing link or the closest living relative to the missing link. That's what it was believed when they were hunting them. What's wrong with this? They are inferior. What's wrong with studying them for the betterment of mankind? You see, too many times, the non-Christian wants the Christian morality without the Christian God. You can't have the Christian morality without the Christian God. And for us to say that this is wrong, no, it's not if there's no God. It's reality. We got to quit letting the world have our morality without our God. We got to call, and that's what I tried to do with Lincoln. Lincoln, who do you think you are? You can't have my morality without my God. I'm here, you're here, according to your belief system. It hurts sometimes. Shut the conversation down. But I think we got to challenge folks. There's nothing wrong with this if evolution is true. Do you know anthropology exploded here in America in 1904? In the St. Louis, as a matter of fact, World's Fair. That's where it really took off. Anthropology had been going on, but they introduced it at the World's Fair. A man named William McGee, what he did is he brought over all the different people groups he could, all the different cultures, and they had a little area out there where these folks came in and they would build their towns and their huts and their, you know, whatever it was, so that they could, we could go in and pay a quarter to see what these people at this level lived like, what they looked like and what they lived like. Mr. McGee, the guy right in the center here, did it for one reason. He was a racist, period. He was a racist. He believed in the superiority of the white race, and he wanted to show that we were superior. I mean, they went so far as to not only have the Olympics that were going on there, they had an ethnic Olympics, and they brought out all the different people groups, and they were chucking spears and chucking rocks. One of the favorite groups were the Pygmies from Africa. And the favorite Pygmy out of all of them was this one right here on the very end. His name was Otabenga. Otabenga, they called him a cannibal because he had his teeth filed. He was not a cannibal. He was bought out of slavery. A missionary was over there, saw him in slavery, and they were taking him off to sell him to somebody else. He bought him, got him out of slavery. His wife and child had been killed, and they took him into slavery. He came over here, went to the World's Fair, big star. Everybody liked Otabenga because of the teeth. After the World's Fair was over, he went back to Africa with the missionary. They lived there for a while. He got remarried, had another child. Child died again, snake bite. She died as well. So the missionary decided to come back to America. Otabenga said, hey, I want to come back to America with you. I want to learn how to read. So the missionary brought him back to America. But then the missionary ran on some hard times, ran out of money. So he had to find somebody to take care of Otabenga. If you look at the picture that they really used to popularize, you'll see down on the elbow when they get down there, they had cannibal written on it. Well, the missionary finally found somebody to help take care of Mr. Otabenga. In New York, the Bronx, yes. The zoo. He was put on display with the orangutans. He was the most popular exhibit of the day. They were selling out. People coming to look at the pygmy with the orangutans. Until Bible-believing Christians stood up and said, this is wrong. Now, guess what? Those Christians that stood up and said this was wrong believed in evolution. They believed in evolution. They just said, this is not right to put him in there. Excuse me, if evolution's true, why isn't it right? What's wrong with it? You don't think it matters how many different races there are. I'm speaking in Georgia next week. I was there about three months ago. Try giving this quote in Georgia, see how much people like you. Interred in all-white cemetery, Thomasville, Georgia. A South Georgia infant remained interred in an all-white cemetery Thursday after church officials backed off the request that she be exhumed because her father is black and her mother white. The church was going to have the child dug up and moved to another grave because the father was black and the mother was white. You don't think it matters how many different races there are in the world? The church officials told her they don't allow half-breeds to be buried in their cemetery. The church deacon, he said that, hey, this isn't a matter of racism. It's just the way it's always been. This is a Southern Baptist church. It's been like this since 1856. I attend a Southern Baptist church. I told you all that this morning, so I will say openly, it's been wrong since 1856. And I don't care if you're American Baptist. I don't care if you're Methodist. I don't care what belief you are. If you hold to this belief and you are a Christian, you are wrong. There's no way to pull punches on it. How about eugenics? Oh, Carl, you're dealing with ugly things. Guys, if we don't deal with the ugly things, trust me when I say this to you. The colleges are loving it that we are sending our Christian kids to them. They don't know about this stuff. They don't know how to give an answer to this stuff. And the professors are loving it that they can chew our kids up and spit them out. We need to deal with it. Eugenics is a reality. The term was coined by Francis Galton. He was Charles Darwin's second cousin. And what is eugenics? Well, it's the self-direction of human evolution. And this is one of the signs that was used. This big, strong tree of eugenics is science. And you look at the roots down here that made up this strong science of eugenics and anatomy, biology, genetics, anthropology, statistics. Oh, looky here, looky here. You see that bottom right one? Religion. You can go to the internet and download the sermons that were being preached from the pulpit. Whites are up here. Blacks are down here, closer to the missing link. And we wonder why our world is the way that it is today. The church bought off on this stuff. The church bought into Darwin before the scientific community even did. Let me let a non-Christian give you that quote. One reason the religious eugenics movement was so large was because evangelical scholars were among the first to embrace Darwin's theory of evolution and did so well in advance of its widespread acceptance by the scientific community. The church bought off on this stuff, started preaching it from the pulpit. Think about it. This was an interesting conversation that I had with a black pastor, and we were talking once, and I was like, and I just asked point blank. I mean, I'm just a straightforward guy. I said, I really don't understand, why are the black churches, many of them, so liberal on their theology? He said, Carl, think about it. Think about what? Who did the training of the first black pastors? Did the conservative Baptist seminaries take the black pastors? No. So where'd they go get their training? They went to the schools that would accept them. The very liberal, it doesn't matter what you believe type schools. The foundation of the church started with people that were being trained to not uphold a strong stand on the Word of God. And so we're seeing the consequences here these many years later. Because the conservative fundamentalists, we won't have anything to do with them. We wonder why we still have problems. Think of this. The goal was to immediately, this is a direct quote, sterilize 14 million people and millions more worldwide, the lower tenth, and then continuously eradicate the remaining lowest tenth until only a pure Nordic super race remained. What country are we talking about? The ophthalmology profession conducted a long and chilling political campaign to round up and coercively sterilize every person with a vision problem. Okay, everybody wearing glasses, please raise a hand. Keep your hand up. Wearing contacts. You don't get to slip by. LASIK surgery. Any LASIK surgery folks? Ah, good, good, good. We got a good crop here. We'll have appointments set up for you starting tomorrow. No kids for any of you. That's about 85% of you. Hey, we don't have to worry about. You don't let defective cattle breed. Why would we let defective hominids breed? That was the belief system. I'm not agreeing with it. This is what was being done. The ophthalmology profession was doing this. And what do they mean by coerced sterilization? You were put in jail until you're beyond the age of breeding unless you agree to be sterilized, then we'll let you out early. What nation are we talking about? Over 60,000 were sterilized. Wrong race, white trash, feeble-minded. And I'm sorry, it was not Germany. Hitler took the research we did and implemented it. Hitler took our research and implemented it and killed the 6 million plus Jews. Oh, by the way, it wasn't just Jews that got killed. It was gypsies. It was Christians. It was mentally, physically handicapped. They were better known as useless eaters. Yeah. But he took the research we did. Direct quote. All of this churned throughout America years before the Third Reich rose in Germany. It doesn't matter how many different races there are. Guys, I got to tell you, when I got married 26 years ago, I'll never forget the letter that I got from my grandmother. She and I will never be friends. You come to my house, I'll be the perfect hostess, but she and I will never be friends. Why would my grandmother write a letter like that from someone she never met? Was my wife that bad person? Oh no, my wife, by the world's standards, was a good person. She worked in an orphanage taking care of unwanted children. If anybody should have got a letter, my grandmother should have written her, said, you don't want this guy, he's a dirtbag. All right? That's the truth. Drugs, alcohol, I was out there. I was out there. She should have got a letter saying, you don't want this guy, he's bad news. But my grandmother wrote me and said, she and I'll never be friends. You come to my house, I'll be the perfect hostess. Why? Next line, and I'll never forget it, 26 years ago. Because your children will always have those eyes. That was the issue. I mean, she's Japanese. Carl, you can't do that. You're here. She's there. I understand why my grandmother thinks the way that she does. Do you realize that in my grandmother's day, when she was going through the education system, what she was being taught? Some of you do, because some of you are the same age as my grandmother. And this is what they were being taught. I mean, Hitler was saying the stronger must dominate and not mate with the weaker, which would signify the sacrifice of its own higher culture. Only the born weakling can look upon this principle as cruel, and if he does so, it is merely because he is a feebler nature and narrower mind. If such a law did not direct the process of evolution, then the higher development of organic life would not be conceivable at all. And guess what? In America, during the pre-war Hitler regime, the Carnegie Institution, through its Cold Spring Harbor complex, enthusiastically propagandized for the Nazi regime and even distributed anti-Semitic Nazi Party films to American high schools. I understand why my grandmother thinks the way that she does. I'm not saying it's right, but I understand why she thinks the way that she does. This is what she was taught. You're here. She's there. Favored races. She's consistent with her worldview. You see, accepting the fact of favored races has had a profound effect on America. From the textbook when she was in school, this is what they taught. Mankind is divided into five races. The yellow and white races are extremely strong and diligent. Because the other races are feeble and stupid, they are going to be exterminated by the white race. Only the yellow race competes with that race. This is so-called evolution. How about this is just racism? It's wrong. Because we bought off on this belief system, though, do you realize that 101 years ago, Indiana became the first place on this planet where you would be sterilized if you were the wrong race or white trash or feeble-minded. Indiana, 101 years ago. They started in the prison system with the males with no painkiller. America, we did it first. All these states with the dashed lines, all the states with the dashed lines had laws on the book that you could be sterilized if you're the wrong race, white trash, or feeble-minded. The states that are black, their laws were pending. Indiana's sterilization law was on the books until 74, North Carolina till 2003. Mississippi, I've got to double check. This is a two-year-old quote. As of 2 years ago, Mississippi still had this law that you could be sterilized for being the wrong race, white trash, or feeble-minded. In Virginia alone, I graduated high school, Lexington, Virginia, 1979. From 1924 to 79, 8,000 people were sterilized while I was still in high school living there, and I had no clue, knew none of it was going on. Do you realize the impact that it's had on our nation? Think of it. North Carolina, the last 15 years of their eugenics sterilization program, 99% of the victims were women and more than 60% were black. Up until 1967, that's my lifetime, 1967, it was against the law in 16 states for a person of one drop of non-white blood to marry a white person. If you got married, the state came in, broke you apart. If you did not stay apart, you were put in jail. That's my lifetime. 1930s, 40s, 50s, early 60s. Let me ask you, was America more or less Christian than today? Let me make it easy for you. 1930s, 40s, 50s, early 60s. Could you go into the public school classroom in America and the teacher have a Bible? Could they open it and read from it? Could they pray? Could you go to Walmart and say Merry Christmas and not feel like you were breaking a law? No, you couldn't. No Walmarts. I'm messing with you. But you know what I'm talking about, okay? Externally, man, we were a whole lot more Christian then than we are today. Then how is it that we pass those laws? How could we pass those laws? You know how this happens in a Christian, quote-unquote, nation? Is when we, with our lips, say Jesus, but with our lives, live like the world and accept man's wisdom to be our authority. That's reality. I don't care how much you say Jesus with your lips and hand wave your hands, if your life and your actions and your mind are not based and grounded from the Word of God, decisions have consequences. And when we bought off on the fact that there are favored races, it has impacted our culture, and we in the church bought off into it. We went the wrong way. We were absolutely consistent with our worldview when we passed those laws. We were absolutely consistent with our worldview, but you know what? We were absolutely inconsistent with the biblical worldview. We were. You don't think this is still with us today? Anybody know who this lady is? You don't think that eugenics is still with us today? You need to go read Planned Parenthood stuff. By the way, that's where they came from. Margaret Sanger, who founded Planned Parenthood, was very open about who she was going to have sterilized, and it was the poor, the white trash, the feeble-minded, the blacks. Speaker Pelosi. Interesting. They just had a conversation, what, a couple weeks ago? What's her one of her plans to help us save money? Well, the family planning services reduce costs. They reduce costs. The states are in terrible fiscal budget crisis now, and part of what we do for children's health, education, and some of those elements are to help the states meet their financial needs. One of those initiatives you mentioned, the contraception, will reduce costs to the states and the federal government. So, hey, eugenics is still here alive and well. We just repackage it. It's being repackaged. It's still here. We've got to accept responsibility. And if you really want to deal with it, we've got to get to the C. And the C is this. We've got to change our authority when it comes to this issue. We have allowed man's opinion to be our authority too long in dealing with this issue. We've got to change our authority. Corinthians says this, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. See, that's a key. When we use man's wisdom, we are going to end up in some bad places, guys. And it might feel totally natural. It might just seem, yeah, that's right. But that's our fallen brain trying to understand an infallible God. God told us the right way, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. We've got to change our authority. And then another thing that we have to do is the T. We have to test our thinking. Doesn't matter what I think you think, because if what I think you think doesn't measure up with what God said, it's no good. We have to prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Timothy says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Now let's transition. Let's transition from the secular world to looking at races. Look at it from a biblical perspective. Now think about it. Feeble-minded. How did we treat them from a secular perspective? Oh, they're called useless eaters. We'll sterilize them or we'll euthanize them. Get rid of them. What does God say to do for the weak, for the feeble-minded? Huh. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward. You think that includes sterilization and euthanizing? I don't think so. 1 Corinthians 15:45, like I told you this morning, first man, Adam. That means we all go back to one man. You know the Bible never talks about races other than running the good race. Never talks about races. Tribes and nations, but never talks about races. Genesis 3:20, Eve is called Eve because she was mother of some of the living. Somebody going to shut me down? That's right. When somebody tells you the Bible says something, you better go read what the Bible does say, because what they tell you it says it may not say. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't say some of the living, it says all living. Therefore, we all go back to one man, one woman. Therefore, you want to answer that question correctly. How many different races are there in the world today? It's really pretty simple. One race, the human race. Now, I had somebody get smart with me when I was doing one talk. He said, no, there's two races. There's the human race, and then there's the rat race. So I can't argue with you on that. I'll give you that. But when it comes to people, there's the human race. And that's what the Word of God tells us. And John 17:17 tells us that thy word is truth, and God knows. Now, how about a tough question, though? Let's deal with one of the tough questions. Where did Cain get his wife? Anybody ever think to ask that question? I'm going to be honest. I never thought to ask that question. I never thought to ask it. I really didn't until I got involved with this ministry, and I'm at one of these meetings, and a guy came up to me, and he asked me this, and he did the Bible says. Red flags got to go up when somebody tells you the Bible says. The Bible says that Cain went out to Nod and found a wife from a different people group. Where'd that people group come from, Carl? I was stumped. This is back early on in my ministry, man. I mean, I'm like, wow, never heard that. I said, I don't know. I'm going to have to go read the scripture. So I did. I went to the scripture, and here's what the scripture does say. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden, and Cain knew his wife. Does this say that Cain went out and found a wife from a different people group? Doesn't say that in the least. What's it say? That he went out to Nod, had relations with his wife. So where did Cain get his wife? Genesis 5:4 says this. Adam and Eve had sons and... I can see what y'all are thinking now. I've been doing this for a while. You guys are looking at me saying, Carl, now we know why the ministry is headquartered in Kentucky. You can't do that, man. That's sick. You're saying brothers married sisters? That's incest. That's sick. You can't do that. Excuse me. Think biblically. We've got to start with a biblical history. God said, not what do you think, God said. And God said that in Genesis, in the beginning, God created man and woman. How long were Adam and Eve supposed, not how long did they live, how long were they supposed to have lived? Forever. So therefore, genetically, they were what? Oh, but they didn't stay perfect. Why aren't we perfect? What happened? You see, the wages of sin is we died spiritually immediately. God said, the day that you eat from the fruit, dying, you shall die. You're going to die, and we did. We died spiritually immediately. And then guess what else started happening? Physical death. We started to break down. Why don't brothers marry sisters today? Please, look at the person to your right. Look at the person. Well, that doesn't work. Look at the person to your left. Well, that doesn't work either. Look at somebody. Just look at somebody. You see why brothers don't marry sisters today? You see all the genetic mistakes? I can see them. You can see them too, because I got them. We've all got them, right? But hold up. The closer you get to Adam and Eve, sin comes into the world. The decay process starts to build up. Adam and Eve start having children. Genesis 5:4, Adam and Eve had sons and daughters. Close intermarriage is no problem through Exodus up to Leviticus. But 2,500 years of time goes by. What's happening in that 2,500 years and the offspring? What's happening? Mutations are building up. Mutations are building up. 2,500 years later, Leviticus 18, God says what? No more close intermarriage. Why? Because mutations have built up to the point where you don't do that anymore. Hey, you don't like that? You still have a major problem. Because think about it. You don't get rid of incest. It just makes it even worse. Hominids have supposedly been around 2 to 3 million years, all right? Our evolutionary ancestors, 2 to 3 million years ago, we were these little hominids running around. Where'd they come from? Oh, you had a male and a female hominid evolve at the exact same time in the exact same place, right? Because it's not going to do any good to get a male evolving, then 100 years later getting a female evolving. They have to evolve at the same time, same place. It's not going to do any good to get a male evolving in America and a female evolving in Africa, right? They have to evolve same time, same place, but wait, it's worse. Because now you have to have another male and another female evolve same time, same place, so that the offspring can get together so you don't have incest. Guys, give it 2 million years of incest. You want to talk about imbeciles? It only works if you start with genetic perfection and we're breaking down. And it's not just hominids. Think about it. Everything that procreates, rats, cats, bats, has to evolve same time, same place, two sexes. And you think we got a problem. They got a huge problem. We don't have a problem. You see, the biblical view is this. We all go back to one man, one woman, through the Tower of Babel. And as a consequence, yes, there are different people, groups, and cultures. We're going to talk about culture. Culture's real. But as far as it comes to races, there's one race, the human race. That's the bottom line. That's what the scripture teaches. If we're honest, the big issue in our country is this right here. Skin color. Oh, skin color. That's the biggie. That's the one that's going to get folks wound up tighter than a drum. But biblically, Acts 17:26 says this, we are all of one blood. The Bible never talks about races other than running the good race. So what about the skin color? Let's deal with it. If you choke a Smurf, what color does it turn? I'm a simple man. I wonder about these kinds of things, all right? I really do. Why do we get so wound up on the skin color? Because we've been taught to see it. That's reality. We've been taught to see it. So how do we deal with it? Let's deal with it like this. Do animals change? Like dogs. Do dogs change? I mean, wow. How about cats? Do cats change? You can read in these articles and advertisements and stuff. Your cat is a hunter with a wild streak that goes back millions of years. I mean, evolutionists even admit that all 35 species of cat that we see, and I'm talking Bengal tiger down to your house cat, all 35 species of cats go back to two cats. So do cats change? Yeah, into cats. How about dogs? 37 species of dogs. Do dogs change? You can start with a wolf kind, and over time, you're going to end up with all kinds of different dogs. How do you get all the different kinds of dogs? By the way, the majority of dogs that we see today are within the last 150 years. Very rapid speciation, but they're still dogs. So how'd you get the different looking dogs? Well, you start with a male and a female dog, and they have genetic information, and they get married and have children, and their children will get half the information from mom, half the information from dad. Pretty soon, you're going to end up with what? Lots of dogs. So imagine that you got lots of dogs. I know this is very scientific and very technical, but this is reality. All right, you start with two dogs, you're going to end up with all kind of dogs. How do you get the different looking dogs? Well, let's take a tiny segment of a big gene pool, a tiny segment of this small of the or of this big gene pool, and start taking it off into different directions. You're going to get all kind of combinations happening. You're going to have dominant traits coming forward. You're going to lose recessive traits. You're going to get all kind of looking dogs, but they're still dogs. So start with the wolf kind, and you lose some information, You're going to get all the way down to until you get to your average Chihuahua. Now, guys, the world is trying to tell our kids that looky here, this is evidence for evolution. This is not evidence for evolution. This is absolutely headed the wrong direction. Think about it. Could you start with a couple of Chihuahua and end up with a wolf? Put that Chihuahua outside for 30 minutes by itself. Is it going to even last? The only way they last is we put them in little sweaters. We camera them in baskets. This is not evidence for evolution. This is the wrong direction. You are losing information. And for the world to tell us that, looky here, this proves evolution, that's headed the wrong direction. To get evolution, you got to go the other direction. You got to start with a worm that has no information for legs to grow legs. Where'd the information for legs come from? You got to go the opposite direction. There is absolutely no new information being added there. This is nothing but a redistribution of existing information within a kind. So you can get all kinds of different looking dogs. You can get all kinds of different looking cows, all kinds of different looking birds. But there's still cows, birds, and dogs. So you can start with this and lose information to where you get Great Dane to Chihuahua. That doesn't support evolution. What's that got to do with skin color? Stick with me. We're going to deal with another tough question. What color was Adam and Eve? Now this one steps on toes. If we really go back to one man, one woman, what color were they? Well, let me tell you right up front that every person on this planet has the same skin color. All of us. Even in this room here today, we all have the same skin color. But there are 12 genes that combine in various ways that determine how light or dark we are. And it's got nothing to do with skin color. It has to do with the 12 genes as well as a pigment called melanin. And depending on how those genes come together will determine on how light or how dark we are. So I'm going to make it simple because I'm a simple man. We're only going to use 4 genes. Imagine that you, as a man or a woman, you had the genes for the skin color. There's 12, but let's only make it 4. And you had big A, big A, big B, big B, and that's going to make you dark. All right? That's one combination. Or you have little A, little A, little B, little B, and that's going to make you light. So let's make it simple. Adam and Eve, what color were they? Were they black? If all you have are big A's and big B's to pass on to the next generation, what skin color will your children have? This is deep, right? I mean, black folks have black kids. That shocks you, right? I mean, whoa, deep. No, if that's all you've got to pass along, that's all you can pass along. So they weren't black. Ah, but we've all seen the videos. Adam and Eve, blonde hair, blue-eyed. Go to the Holy Land Experience in Florida, watch their creation film, and Eve is running around with blonde hair, blue eyes, and a bikini tan line. I just saw it. I wasn't looking for it. I mean, it just kind of jumps out at you. Or Adam and Eve, blonde hair, blue eyed, white. No, because all you could have are white kids. White folks have white kids. I know that's shocking. But how about this? What if they were middle brown? Big A, little A, big B, little B. The majority of people on this planet are middle brown, okay? So imagine that you've got middle brown Adam and Eve, and they start having children. Is it not possible for the combinations to come together to where you'll get light to dark in one generation? Is it not possible? Absolutely it is. What do we see in the world around us? Well, let's say this. You start with one man, one woman. They get married and have children. Their children get married and have children. Pretty soon you're going to end up with what? Lots of people. Thank you. I know it's very technical. And by the way, young person, please hear that process. Get married, have children. Get married, have children. That is the process God wants. All right? I'm not trying to be a smart aleck or a jerk. That's the process that God set in place. You're going to end up with lots of people. How do you get all the different looking people? Let's start with middle brown people and get a small segment, and they move to Africa. They start having children. Would the children with the light skin gene survive well or even want to stay in Africa pre-sunscreen days? They survive. They're out of there because they're going to get burned up. So what's going to happen? Over time, you're going to lose that combination in that environment, and you end up with only dark-skinned folks in that environment. Let's take middle brown folks. Let's move them up to the cold regions. Would the dark-skinned combination survive well in the cold regions? Dark-skinned folks need more sunlight to process vitamin D. If they don't get the sunlight, they have vitamin D deficiency, rickets, and other things, and also they are more susceptible to frostbite. So what's going to happen? Over time, you're going to lose a dark-skinned gene in a certain environment. Those folks are going to get out of there. So you end up with light-skinned folks in one area, dark-skinned folks in one area, but you're still folks. How'd you split the gene pool up? Please do not come up to me after this and say, well, God separated the races and now you're trying to put them all back together. I've heard it all. Robins breed with robins and blue jays breed with blue jays. Now you're trying to mix it all back together. God did it. God didn't do it. God didn't separate races. What did he do at the Tower of Babel? Tower of Babel, God separated one race linguistically. Big gene pool. What happens? We speak the same language. We head off in this direction. Pretty soon we got dominant traits coming forward. We lose recessive traits. We get all kind of different looking folks because Tower of Babel, God split the gene pool up. Has nothing to do with separating races. Don't trust me. Oh, but the skin color thing, it's a big deal, Carl. Let me let the scientists talk to you then. In fact, though, many differences represent trivial changes. Trivial changes. Skin color, for instance, is a minor adaptation to climate. Black in Africa for protection from the sun. White in Europe to absorb ultraviolet radiation that helps produce vitamin D. Now, here's the deception. Parents, teach your children to have discerning eyes. Here's the deception. It takes only a few thousand years of evolution for skin color to change. Carl, you agree with that, and I do. You see the way they use the word evolution? They're using evolution in this sense, a redistribution of existing information. Now, I'm not saying we're animals, and I'm not saying that white folks or black folks are worse than others, all right? We're not chihuahuas. There's no chihuahua people. I'm not saying that. It's a redistribution of existing information, speciation. We agree with that, but they use the exact same word to say that worms grew legs, and they are two totally different processes. They are not the same, even though they use the same word. That's deception. Okay, so we need to understand that. What's reality? Well, here's a couple. They got married, had twins, one light, one dark. Here's a couple in England, had twins, 2002, one light, one dark. Guess what? They had twins just a few months ago, one light, one dark. Two sets of twins, one light, one dark. How about this one? Married, had twins, one light, one dark. How about this? Middle brown couple, had twins, one light, one dark. Why are we so caught up on the skin color thing? This gentleman here, anybody know who he is? He's from North Carolina. He's a senator. He's a black man. Those are his parents. Guys, why are we so caught up on the skin color thing? How about those eyes my grandmother was so wound up on? Hey, some people have fat eyes. That's all there is to it. You can diet all you want, and you're not going to lose that layer of fat. It's nothing but a layer of fat, and it has nothing to do with being Asian. I've seen Asians with round eyes. I've seen white folks with slanted eyes. I've seen black folks with slanted eyes. It's a layer of fat. It's like this. Imagine that when you came in here, we're having our cookout here shortly, and we're having all this good food. Imagine that I gave you a cake mix, and we were all going to use the same ingredients to make a cake. Would your cake look and taste like my cake? No. Trust me. You'd start a building project with my cake, all right? You don't want my cake, but we use the same ingredients. You can get all kinds of different looking cakes from the same ingredients. Friends, Adam and Eve were the original cake mix. And we got all kinds of cakes. I mean, some of us have a little bit more spice and some of us have a little bit more sugar than others, but we all go back to the same cake mix. When we start looking at people the way that God looked at people, God looks at them like this. Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And I am so happy to tell you that that is not your grandfather. And I'm even more happy to tell you that that is not your grandmother. But I understand why my grandmother thinks the way that she does. Carl, you can't marry her. You're here, she's there, closer to that missing link. So let's deal with the interracial marriage thing. If the biblical history is correct, is there any such thing? No. There's one race, the human race. What are the primary purposes of marriage according to God? Not what we think, not what we feel. According to God, one of the primary purposes of marriage is Malachi 2:15, to raise godly offspring. So therefore, Christian single in here tonight, I'm going to love you enough to shoot you straight, tell you the truth, even though you may not like me for it. Missionary dating, missionary marriage is found nowhere in the scripture. That's reality. God says that the two are to become one, and that is physical as well as spiritual, and you cannot become one spiritually with a non-believer. That's reality. The whole unequally yoked thing that the people like to quote, the unequally yoked thing. Unequally yoked has nothing to do with skin color. It has to do with believer and non-believer mixing together. Now, if you are in here tonight and you are in that position where your spouse is a non-believer, God deals with that as well. But what he is telling us is to not willingly put ourselves into that position. You look at the unequally yoked thing. You go through the scripture, and you're going to see every time, righteous with unrighteous. It has nothing to do with skin color. It has to do with believer and non-believer. Now, I don't care if you're both blonde hair, blue-eyed, and you live next door to each other your whole life. You need biblical counseling if you're going to get married, period. You throw the culture thing in there, you need even more biblical counseling because culture is real. Trust me, it's real. I mean, my wife and I have been married for 26 years. It's real. Her parents have lived with us for the last 18 years, 10 months, 3 weeks. Hey, you don't like that? Don't marry an Asian that doesn't have a brother. It's her responsibility. She's the oldest. That's her job. It's real. Guess what? The grandparents have seen the grandchildren, 25, 24. They've seen them twice in their lifetime. They've grown up being called Jap, Nip, Slant, Fish Eyes. We've heard it all. You're going to have people making comments. Culture is real. Think about it. My wife likes fish. I don't like fish. My concept of eating is stab, cut, chew. That's the way you eat, man. Stab, cut, chew. Fish is not stab, cut, chew. Fish is like pick, spit bone. It messes everything up. And I'm not just talking regular fish. I'm talking stinky fish. You turn off the interstate, and you're coming to church here, you can smell it from the interstate. That's the kind of fish I'm talking about. It's stinky. I had to lay down the law. No more of that stinky fish in the house. Not happening. No more. You're going to eat it, you eat it out on the back porch. You think squeezing toothpaste in the middle of the end is a big deal? Try coming home smelling that fish when you don't like it. Culture's real. You need biblical counseling. But after you go through biblical counseling, how about it? If you're a Christian, the other person's a Christian, what's wrong with it? You look at the scripture. Here's the example in the scripture. Rahab, Ruth, Shua, Asenath, Hagar, every one of them were from the wrong side of the track, so to speak. But they were brought into the one family when they received the one true God. That's the biblical example because there's only one race, the human race. And that's a biological fact. Now, spiritual fact, there are two races, spiritually. And there is a light and there's a dark. It has nothing to do with outside. It has to do with whether you're racing towards the dark or racing towards the light. Future of racism, young lady, don't you dare start dating that Afro-Filipino Hasidic Indo-American kid down the block. Why can't you meet a nice Euro-Korean Cherokee Cuban-American boy like your father? We're all a bunch of mutts anyway, so what's a big deal? I think we really need to get rid of the term races. You know, and it's even where I work. I work in a ministry. Lady came in, HR lady, gave me a form. I had to fill it out. I'm filling it out. Check a box. Race. They didn't have me on there, so I drew a new box. I wrote human, checked it, sent it back in. True story. She came in my office the next day and said, what are you doing? What do you mean, what are you doing? You got to check one of the boxes. I did check one of the boxes. No, you got to check one of their boxes. I'm not checking one of their boxes. You got to check one of their boxes. I'm not checking one of their boxes. If I'm going to go out and preach there's one race, a human race, and then I'm going to check a box, tell them that I'm a white guy, I'm a hypocrite. I'm not doing it. What do you want me to do? Send it in. I said, what are they going to do? Arrest me? That'd be a great story to tell. It's even where I work. All right, two last things real quick. If you've heard that we got black folk from the curse of Ham, please go to the scripture, read the scripture, because you're going to find out very shortly that there is no such thing as a curse of Ham. It's not even in the scripture. How do we get black folk from a curse that's not even in the scripture? And that's very popular in the fundamentalist churches. Second thing, there is a skin color associated with a curse in the scripture. Did you realize that? Check it out. Miriam, she gets mad because Moses married a black woman. Cushite, black woman. Oh, she's hot. She's hot. God gets hot too. And guess what? He curses Moses for marrying the black woman? Uh-uh. What's he do? He punishes Miriam. What's he do to Miriam? Numbers 12:10. He makes her white like snow. So, you know how we got white folks? From the curse of Miriam. Hey, if I can justify a curse of Ham getting black folks, and that's not even in the scripture, why can't I use a curse of Miriam to get white folks? No, I don't believe that. I don't. But I know this. Until we start allowing the Word of God to be our authority and our standard, we are not going to have answers to these issues. So, let me fast forward here so we can get on time. You guys are going to be polite to me, and I got to be polite to you. And don't worry, I can finish up this next talk easy. Let's finish up that little, whatever you call these things. Test our thinking. Well, what's that last one? The last one is we need to submit ourselves. Regardless of what we've grown up with, what we think, we need to submit ourselves to God. And God said this, and be not transformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Why? Because here's the key. Subtlety of Satan, simplicity of Christ. If we're not prepared, Satan's going to come along and it's going to look good. We're going to fall for it. We're going to end up in some bad places. Learn from our past. Because verse 4 says this, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. If you don't know the truth, you're going to fall for the lie. We've done it in the past, and we're doing it today. When 30% of the people, professing Christians, can go pull a lever, push a button, for somebody that absolutely goes contrary to what the scripture teaches, we're being deceived. Be careful. Thank you, Pastor David.
Well, thank you very much, Carl. All that talk about food made me hungry. We are glad to know that we are not having fish here. You had to go to Missouri to get some catfish if you want any of that, but that's what they do in Missouri. So I am going to pray for our food, and then we have a nice buffet lined up in the back so you can buffet your bodies all you want. And we're going to try to eat promptly so we can be done by 6 and hear more of the word from Carl. So let me pray. Father God, I do thank you for this opportunity to hear your word, and I do pray for us as a church that we'll have a biblical standing, understanding of human nature. I pray that for those of us who have been convicted by racism, that we will really understand that that is a deception and a lie from the enemy and repent from it and turn to your truth. Lord, we also thank you for this food. May it bless and nourish our bodies. May we have just wonderful fellowship around your table. In Christ's name, amen.